The following podcast contains real reviews and the ridiculous reactions of two would-be oracles of the internet. The opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Seriously.
Hello and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Wow, we got a show here, folks. It's on the internet. It's a podcast. It's about the internet. Internet reviews. Ooh. From Amazon, ooh. Google,
ooh.
TripAdvisor, Kmart.com, all types of good websites. Do we do anything else on this podcast, Matt? I'm not really sure.
We look at the reviews, we read them, and we go, aha.
That's kind of it. I mean, that's what the people are paying for, right?
We find the funny, and if it's not there, we make it, okay? That's what goes on.
That's a good way to put it. You know what? You're doing so good at this right now. I'm going to ask you, do you have a review?
I do have a review. I just got to decide which one I want to start off with, because I got more than one. Go figure.
No way. This episode's going to be crazy.
I'll go with this one because it was first in the line. This is a Google review for the Long John Silver's in McHenry, Illinois. Here's what Kyle Moore has to say. No longer a Long John Silver's, despite saying otherwise online. And the LJS sign is still up at the restaurant. It's now just a Taco Bell. And I drove out of my way because of the lies. I got Taco Bell since I was there already, and they gave it to me in an LJS bag. Seriously? Get your act together, guys. One star. Now, moments before we started recording, we were talking about KFC.
Sure.
So we got fast food maybe a bit on the brain, but I eat it fairly rarely these days. But is there any, like, fast food? I guess Long John Silver's is one that if you were a fan, you'd have to go out of your way to get it because it ain't everywhere.
Yeah, maybe that's a factor. This is one of those weird people that no one has ever met that likes Long John Silver's that's keeping those places open.
Yeah. Hey, but I'm gonna hit up LJS.
Who is? I'm a fan of fast food. I have to stop myself from indulging too much. I think I'm at a good, I wouldn't say a healthy ratio, but a could be unhealthier ratio of how often I eat fast food. But I don't go to fish fast food places. Fish is not a fast food thing I crave. I'll have a fillet of fish once a year maybe or something, but that's enough.
Yeah, that's like a fair amount of people, maybe I'm just speaking for my bubble, my circle of people, but a fair amount recently, like, no, we don't want the fried fish anyway. Give us a grilled fish. I don't know that you can get that at a Long John Silver's.
I like a fried fish sandwich, but yeah, there's something, you know, if you're going to have a good fish, if you're going to go out of your way to have some nice fish, which I guess you're not doing if you're going to Long John Silver's. Might as well get it grilled. Might as well get the whole fish taste, not cover it with too much aisles.
Get yourself to a pub. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Go to the pub and get yourself some fish and chips. The thing about, like, going to a pub or a sports bar and getting their Friday night fish fry or their fish and chippery is that it's going to be the same price sans beer if you get a soda as a fast food place. Anyway, fast food's getting expensive. So is restaurant food, but come on now. I mean, but really what struck me about this review is how upset they are about the, like, using the old bags. Yeah. Like, it was a personal insult to them that they were serving Taco Bell in the corpse, like, Long John Silver coffins.
Yeah. The closest I can come to sympathizing with that is, like, going to what used to be the Piggly Wiggly, but then became the Butera grocery store near me, and they would still have Piggly Wiggly brand, like, mixed nuts or something.
Oh, they didn't even bother switching out some of that old stock.
I don't know if that was it or if it's just like this is all packaged up in Wisconsin where it's all still Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
But it just made me like wistful, not upset that they were lying to me.
The issue there, right, is just that's like a, it doesn't, there's something that doesn't make sense about that, like that renaming but still being the same company using mm-hmm. the same products.
Yeah.
Being so lazy as to not even like change the label, even though they have to change the name so bad. That's just like, man, that's just something that only can exist in like the stupid era of capitalism we're in, right? Where it's just like, this is so stupid. But someone paid $1 billion to have their name on this, so they gotta right. change it. But no, there's something much more. The brand loyalty here is different than your sort of Piggly Wiggly. You know, because Piggly Wiggly, it's the closest to mom and pop a not mom and pop can be. So I think mm-hmm. losing that is sort of sad. But like Long John Silver's? Who is romanticizing the founding story of Long John Silver's? I just Long John Silver's in my mind is just like the industry plant of fast food restaurants. Long John Silver's doesn't exist because people care about it.
It's just sort of a front, and they're kind of keeping yeah. tabs on everything.
It's just because Yum Food Brands like has some geographer who like says like, oh, this area could use a fast food fish restaurant that would do good, so they had to make it to fill the, you know, there's yeah. no passion there.
Yeah, god, I just looked up I'm looking at pictures of their fried fish, and it just does not look good.
Yeah, Long John Silver's, man, you could not, I don't know what I would get. I guess I could look at the menu and be in pain or whatever, but I don't know. So let's go from one case of misguided passion to some others. What I like about our reviews is it gives us, you know, or internet reviews in general, it gives us you a window into some other people's lives that you might not understand.
Sure.
Sometimes that comes in the form of someone being really into Long John Silver's. Sometimes it comes in the form of someone living a more luxurious lifestyle than you could would like to or could ever imagine yourself living. I have a set of reviews from TotalWine.com for Montaldon Brut. Did you say Brut? Did you say Brut?
Brut.
Bruhu Champagne. This is a $45 bottle of champagne.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's thank you for reminding me. That's why I brought it. I don't know. These reviews are funny. I'll read them. This is a review from Gand Juice of New Mexico. They made an account just to review this product, it looks like. They title it, "Been a Craving Ever Since." They write, "All I can say is we bought our first bottle, New Year's. I've been craving it ever since. No joke. Multiple times, my lady and I have been at it and have said, I really want another bottle of Montaldon. 5 stars.
When you say been at it, what do you think they're talking about there?
Is that how rich people, when they hang out, that's what they got. They can't call it hanging out. That's such a pedestrian plebeian term. Yes.
Because surely not, you know, in our poor person vernacular. In our nomenclature,
right. If you're going at it, there's uglies involved and bumping.
Yeah, you are bumping the uglies, or you're like tearing into some Long John Silver's. One or the other. And in either situation, I don't think I'm going to time out and say, I could go for another bottle of that Montez... Whatever.
That Montague spew. Yeah, that's sort of the common theme I think we'll find is why is there a craving? Why is there this want? Neither of us are alcohol enjoyers very much. You are a non-drinker. I am the most social of social drinkers these days. I'm a non-social social drinker. But man, I would never have champagne unless offered.
Yeah. Yeah, it is not a craving.
The idea of craving such a thing. I don't know if I've ever even craved lobster. The poorness in my brain would not let me crave such a treat. This next review is from Chloe. They title it Delicious. They write, Dwight at the Marketplace location helped me pick this delicious champagne amongst other wonderful wines. He is so helpful each and every time I come to this location. Thank you, Dwight. 5 stars.
All right, Dwight, get it.
Yeah, I just like that. She dropped the location name and she dropped the employee name. I mean, maybe she thought she was doing him a solid.
And now maybe we all know where to get the best service. We got to drive all the way out. Where's Dwight?
A guy named Dwight. Dwight, the name Dwight does not summon the idea of the coolest dude working down at the marketplace. What is this thing, place called?
Total Wine.
Total Wine. Down at the Total Wine Marketplace location.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you've got a hookup. Yeah, I go to the bar on Fifth. Tony's the guy. He makes great drinks.
Tony's a good hookup guy name.
Hey, Mike, my barbecue guy, he makes great.
Mike is among the best hookup guy names. I got a guy, Mike. Oh, wow.
Say, hey, see my pal, Dwight. He's going to sell you some electronics.
It just doesn't inspire confidence. Yeah, unless maybe he's working at Best Buy. You got your guy, Dwight, at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah, I can picture it on his name tag already.
Yeah, for anything cool, you need a Mike, a Jim, a Rodney.
Ooh, Rodney.
Yeah, my guy Rodney. Wow. That's a guy. But, Melville? Oh, yeah, I got my battery's been acting up in my truck. I sent it down to my boy Melville. Down in downtown trucking. All right, I got one last one here from Miss Betty. She titles it My Everyday Champagne. She writes, I have been drinking this for years. A salesperson at Total Wine recommended it to me as an alternative to Moët White Star. If you like a dry, not fruity, brut, this is for you. Reasonably priced when you pick 6. 5 stars.
Let's go. I mean, it's just like getting the soda in a pack. Why not?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the, if I am going to have a nice beer night, I love the pick 6 pack. So it says I don't drink very often, but I do like craft beer. So I get to pick 6 flavors for the nights I do indulge, you know, but 6 entire bottles of wine. I was shocked at how many people are buying 6 bottles of champagne at a time.
Yeah.
That it has to be a whole thing. It's not a thing like, hey, I'm having a party. You guys have a box deal. It's like enough people are asking that they just had to put the 6-pack boxes out.
Yeah, when it's available year round and not just like for the 6 weeks of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to want their champagne. People are going to be having that bubbly with some orange juice every weekend. Might as well sell them by the 6 case, you know?
Every weekend. Our friend Miss Betty said every day. This is her daily drinker. What does that do to you? I feel like I don't even know how good or bad for you champagne is, because the thought of drinking it regularly, you know, it's not for us of the non-bourgeoisie to even even consider such a thought.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think it's much different than drinking beer a lot.
you and I and everyone know all about what beer can make bad for you. It gives you the man titties in the guts. You know, the propaganda, whether it's good propaganda, but it still is. It makes you dull. But champagne, there's no anti-champagne propaganda, is there?
No.
That's a little eerie to me.
They've got liposuction and all tucks and lifts and folds.
They recommend a glass of champagne a day because it just gets you closer to Botoxability. It gives you a nice sag that really preps you for a good Botoxing.
Bottle of champagne. Get out in the sun for a couple hours. Get that sag on.
All right. Do you have a review, sir?
I do. I got another Google review. This is again, someone... I don't remember the exact phrase you used when you jumped to your reviews. It was something like someone finding... It was passion. Passion was the word you used. And I was like, oh, that's good. Anyway... I'll just get to it. This is a Google review of Romantics. That's with an X on the end there. It Romantics. Is an adult entertainment store. This location is just south of Omaha, Nebraska. And Mel Emig writes, So this place came up when searching for arcades in Council Bluffs. Yes, I knew what kind of store it was when my friends and I decided to check it out, but wasn't sure if it was an adult kind of arcade or what. Unfortunately, it's not an arcade in the classic terms at all. I was told I would not find Pac-Man back there. Not even sexy Pac-Man. Looking for an actual arcade? Look elsewhere. The store itself is decent, and the staff are extremely nice, open, and helpful. 3 stars. There's a response from owner. Thank you for visiting Ooh. Our store and for taking the time to leave a review. We apologize for any confusion regarding the type of arcade we have. We appreciate your kind words about our store and staff, and we hope you find the arcade you are looking for elsewhere.
I'm just going to get this statement out of the way so we can get on to the very funny comedy that is happening in this review. The statement is, just check the pictures. I'm sure one Google listing picture would have pre-solved this issue, right?
Yeah, if you saw a Pac-Man machine, you're like, let's go.
Pac-Man green, wiener. Pac-Man's got a little wiener on him, a red light. Pac-Man, no wienerless Pac-Man, green light. Because everyone loves Miss Pac-Man. That's a great.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, that aside, we found the funny, the idea of a sort of sexy arcade, a sexy video game emporium. Ooh. You know, Q-Bert is getting wild in there. That's what Q-Bert was made for. Q-Bert isn't a guy in a video game world. Q-Bert's a guy from a porno world that got put into a video game. Right.
Yeah, with that sort of orifice on the front of its body, Q-Bert.
That's all he's got. He's got an orifice, and he's got 2 legs to move him to a new place for the orifice to be useful. Oh,
poor Q-Bert.
That's why you can't listen to anything he's saying. That's why it's all just like censored swear words when he talks. It's just disgusting.
Q-Bert has seen things.
Dig Dug is in a special sort of fetishist corner.
Got sort of like the Dig Dug's pumping things up.
Yeah, it's the pump. For those who are not familiar with Dig Dug, the objective is to you dig, you get some prizes if you encounter an enemy. Dig Dug's weapon is just sort of a medieval spear attached to a bike pump, and you stick the enemy and you pump them up and they blow up. Now, if you didn't know what Dig Dug was, now you know where the fetish is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We assume everyone knows what Q-Bert is, so there's no explanation needed there.
Hubert, to get that joke, you just need a Google image search.
You just need to see Hubert.
You just need to see what that little fella's got going on. It makes me sad that, yeah, people don't know. I feel like everyone has to, you know, a rite of passage for a 90s kid is to go to some wedding where you don't know anyone. Become friends with the other kid that's there that also is too young to enjoy a wedding and also mm-hmm. doesn't know anyone, and you go to like the laundry room with like $5 and quarters from your parents, and you become friends over like, oh, we can play Hubert or this deer hunter gun game. So
yeah,
you want to play Hubert? Yeah. And you know, you just become friends over Hubert because you have to. That's a really important experience, I think.
What else are you going to play? Paperboy?
Paperboy's kind of gas, though. I don't know what kind of sexy thing Paperboy would be doing. He'd be Paperman.
Yeah. Coming up on your doorstep, babe.
No, I think Paperman, he doesn't participate. He's asexual. You know, there's a place for that in our very welcoming porno video game world. But instead of papers, he just throws out condoms, sort of safe sex.
Oh, gotta have it, yeah.
Safe sex sort of first aid kits, you know, to go packs. All kinds of stuff in there. Man, I feel like I got one more sexy, twisted video game porn scenario in my head. Should we do a modern one? We did two classics.
Yeah. You know,
very Adam Sandler. When it gets modern, it's too realistic. Like, there's nothing funny about Mr. Chief having sex. It just would be a porno. There'd be no gimmick.
Now, burger time.
Burger time sex. Sliding the meat across the counter.
Eat up those buns, come on.
Whereas like Assassin's Creed, it would just, you know, there's already sex in that. You just take off their clothes and have sex. It's very boring.
Yeah, we're talking bubble bobble here.
Ooh, bubble boy. Bobble. Yep.
Bounce on my bubbles.
Yeah, bubble balls and bubbles and... Oh, don't they? Don't they sort of vomit forth the balls too?
They do. Their heads just sort of crank backward.
Oh boy!
But when there's that last enemy, they get all angry and super fast. You're like, this was fun before. Now I'm terrified.
Space Invaders, but it's just hot ladies.
They get fast when there's only one left, too.
There's one very fast naked woman. You're trying to shoot with a squirt gun.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
There we go. I feel better. But yeah, there is sort of, as it gets more modern, it gets more boring.
Yeah.
The section of the porno. Yeah, there's nothing funny about Overwatch porn. That's just like something people Google every day.
Yeah.
There's no comedy there, just sadness. See, and they've ruined it for themselves, too, because you look up Overwatch porn. I have it on good authority. It's just, you know, the characters having sex with each other and stuff. But Overwatch has, like, a super meter you fill, right? As you get shots and do damage, your ultimate ability powers up. And then you hit a button and do a big super move. You know, that would be fun in a pornography. But I guess that's already sort of pre-built in porn. Maybe that's why it goes so good together. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, I got some Googling to do.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to
Great Reviews in History.
Now, as a preamble to this, it's January 4th time of recording. I don't know about you, but it seems to happen like every year, just in that post-Christmas glow, I either think of something that I really did need and didn't want and or didn't ask for, or like I'll discover some gift that would have been perfect for somebody.
Oh, sure.
You're just like, man, too little, too late. Gosh darn it.
Well, getting someone a gift outside of the holiday seems creepy.
You know, I thought of you when I saw this here.
Absolute freakish behavior.
Well, with that in mind, this Great Reviews in History, the segment where we look at historical reviews, whether they're 20 years old or, well, maybe a bit older than that, because we find Amazon reviews from 1999, 30 plus years old or 100 years old. We just read about things and we go, hoo-ha, look at how they write.
This is different, huh?
I found a newspaper review for Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol from December 26th, 1843.
Wow, this one, okay.
The morning.
We're putting the history in history here.
History is in the history. By and large, people like immediately loved A Christmas Carol, except for whoever wrote this. And if you're a diehard follower of Review Party, you know I already wrote a blog about this and posted about it, but I just wanted to get this hot stuff out there.
No, it's too good not. We got to get as many ears on ears, right, and eyes and regretful holiday one percenters on this as possible.
I don't know if I'll read the entire thing. We'll see how it goes, but I'll read some of it. So, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. A little book has lately been published under the above title. It is rather a pretty little book to look at. The edges of the leaves are gilt, the covers are of crimson cotton without, and pea-green paper within. And there is a golden wreath on the back of the little book, and a larger one on the side, with a legend interspersed, which informs the curious reader of the name of the book and of its author. The number of pages is 166, and the print runs all across each page, instead of occupying a space in the middle, as in books of verse. It has two or three little colored prints, of which the frontispiece is the best, being a very merry little sketch at which we hope many children will laugh. And there is a title page besides the exterior legend, which title page announces that the carol is in prose and that it is, quote, a ghost story of Christmas. How are we doing so far?
I mean, I'm loving how condescending it is. Even though they haven't sold the farm on if it's going to be negative or positive. Yeah, I love that. The verbiage they're using to belittle this book just early on.
It's made of paper. That's page words are on this guy.
I think this insert here is the color of pee. It is tiny and little and insignificant, but it is pee-pee.
All right, continuing. It is by no means so easy to give an account of the matter of the book. It is not comedy, nor tragedy, nor simple narrative, nor pure allegory, nor sermon, nor political treatise, nor historical sketch. But it is a strange jumbling together of all these, so that one knows not what to make of it. It has all Mr. Dickens' mannerisms, and is, for so far, to us, displeasing and absurd. But it has touches of genius, too, mixed up with its huge extravagance. And a few of those little happy strokes of simple pathos, to which we should hope, so well as to chance and fashion, the author has been indebted for his great popularity. There are also some little bits of jokes, something trembling on the verge of puns and the like, of which the less said, the better. Any comments after that one?
It's like, I'm just going to reiterate what he said, I guess, yeah, in a different way. Classic comedy. But just, yeah, there were little, I guess you could call them jokes, sort of puns, sort of play on words. I guess they were small, and I guess you have to call them jokes, but they were stupid, and we will not talk about them.
You got lucky with a few things, but...
the modern equivalent would be, yes, there were jokes in this movie. I laughed maybe twice in the 2.5 hour runtime.
Yeah. All right. The story, so far as it is a story, lies in a nutshell.
He keeps doing that. He keeps calling it a thing and being like, I guess you could call it that. You have to.
A shocking old miser in the city has an honest, hard-working clerk with a large family and a hearty, joyous nephew with a wife and pretty sisters-in-law. It is Christmas Eve and the miser is very cross. His nephew comes to invite him to dinner the next day, and the miser repulses him with rudeness. Then he is savage to his clerk, to whom he grudgingly grants a holiday for the morrow. Then he goes home to his wretched solitary chambers, and there he sees sundry visions of ghosts, which, after a remarkably strange and mystical fashion, make him sensible of the error of his ways. He gets up brimful of benevolence, sends a prize turkey to his clerk, and next day pokes him in the ribs, an action which Mr. Dickens seems to think peculiarly appropriate to benevolent feelings, and raises his wages. Moreover, the miser goes to church on Christmas Day, subscribes largely to a fund for the relief of the poor, and dines with his joyous nephew and his pretty wife and his pretty sisters-in-law.
Listen, all right, I guess he gives his hardest working worker a raise in health care to help his family. I guess he starts to donate to charity and be good to those around him. But what he really started to indulge in. What really I think he got out of the deal. What he really got out of the deal, he got to sit with some pretty ladies.
I don't really remember that being part of the story, but I'm going to have to.
There were female characters in the story. Their prettiness, maybe projected, continue.
All this is very well, but 5/6 of the little book, or more, relate to the poor miser's interviews with the ghosts, and these comprise the most incomprehensible jumble of great things and little, things mystical and things familiar, that we ever met with, whether in the winter time or the summer. Everyone has heard that there is but one step from the sublime to the ridiculous. This step Mr. Dickens annihilates and serves up the two together like thunderbolts intertwisted with thread papers, or like an earthquake rocking the foundations of the world to the tune of Lillibullero. I don't know what the heck that means. There was once upon a time a writer of some note who compared the genius of Lord Byron to a, quote, mystery in the winding sheet, crowned with a halo. The illustration was not considered to stand the test of strict analysis, but it would not be amiss as a simile for this Christmas carol of the gentle Boz. Boz is another name for Dickens, so we all know. Mr. Dickens appears to have his notions of Christian benevolence and sound national policy inextricably involved with visions of bowls of punch and blind man's buff. Puddings, dances, fiddlings, heaps of children riotous in their mirth, and of ravenous stomachs. Green grocers' shops with red berries in the window and strings of onions at the door, roast goose stuffed with sage and onions and sundry dishes from the baker's oven, sending forth a savory steam. Above all these, however, he seems to place pokings in the ribs and a rich chuckling voice. But there can be no question that, upon the whole, the intent of this little book is to encourage kindly and benevolent feelings. And though we do not like sound instructions to be mixed up with matters so exceedingly fantastical
as that in which this
Christmas carol abounds, yet we would fain hope that it may do some good by encouraging generous and joyous feelings in those who will not seek them at a better source.
Matt, I'm getting the feeling that this guy, if he was around today, he would be hating movies because they were woke.
Ooh, I had a feeling you might be calling out the boom, boom, boomer alert.
You know, yeah, this is a real, like, this royal we they're using, do not like when our messages are wrapped up in the fantastic. First of all, if you write a review and you don't like the genre, you're like, criticisms can't just be genre criticisms, right? Because at that point, you're not even talking about the story. You're not even critiquing anything relevant. But, like, to take it a step further and to say that, like, we do not like the virtues being taught by tales to be wrapped in the fantastic, that is the oldest tradition in storytelling. That is storytelling. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. You tell a story, and that story tells you a thing about humanity and how you should live. That's it, baby. That's the whole thing. That's how it's been. That's how it's always going to be. Jeez. That just makes me crazy, man. Was there anything else going on? Or is this guy's just a hater? It's just a hater.
Just a hater.
Yeah, I really think that they're a little upset that these virtuous, almost, you know, Christian virtues were being taught with sort of by evil, ghostly, otherworldly, demony beings, I think is the impression I got, you know?
Yeah, it's just too fantastical for me.
I know a little religion that talks about its virtues using fantastical stories, and that's all of them. That would be all of them. And whether there's credence in those fantastical stories or not is besides the point, right? It's just, you're just outing yourself as a goofus talking like these things about these things. Because it just really makes me think, what do you like? If you don't like that in stories, if you don't like humanity's being told through fantastical means.
Mm-hmm.
Because even stories outside the fantasy genre do that, you know? Cop thrillers, even though they're quote-unquote realistic, it's still fantastical. What is Snow White? Freaking Little Red Riding Hood? That Little Red Riding Hood was a little too fantastical. Talking bears.
Three little pigs, you say? Blasphemy.
The pigs I know pigs to be quite large, sir. Little pigs?
Little pigs, so as they're called.
yeah, exactly. But no, a fantastic review of history on the same. The great tradition of just totally missing the point and writing a review about it like you got some authority on it. We love it. I got someone with some authority here, I think, for this review. This is a review from Amazon for The Wonderland Maker's Dear Future Me Journal and Notebook and Scrapbook and Letters to My Future Self Life Planner. Aww. Life Planner, Paste, Photos, and Stickers, Remember Forever Memory Book. It's like one of those little tourist trap knick-knack bait. Where do I see myself in 5 years? Activity writing book thing.
Okay.
Sharon Young titles their reviews, "I Can Tell Others What I Think." She writes, "I believe that Letters to My Future Self will give my granddaughter a way to think before she speaks. By writing her thoughts down, she might be able to help herself navigate the growing up process, Without the wish, I could take those words back, or having no regrets, or not saying how she really felt 5 stars.
What? I'm still processing. She said her granddaughter's gonna write before she can talk?
Yeah, she says this book will give her granddaughter the ability to think before she speaks. The writing in this book will be good practice to get her little brain to function.
Okay,
I think words good.
I think I just really misinterpreted it.
It's not worded well.
I'm picturing her giving this to an infant and saying, "Here, you can write everything down now."
We got to get this strained out, baby. Little baby child, little child. Baby
I know you got person. A lot of issues. You're holding on to a lot of baggage, baby.
The big mistake I made is not figuring out what I want to do in my life until I was 20, 30. You know, I could have been on that shit by the time I started walking. And we're gonna get you there. No, what really is going on here is it appears that I took it as she really thinks her granddaughter, has a problem. Talking without thinking first.
Yeah, talking out, acting out.
Acting out. And this little shitty book is going to fix it. Hey, these little activities.
You write down those dirty words first. And you see how dirty they look.
Will you have a dog in 5 years? Fuck shit ass piss. You put those words down, you don't have to think of them anymore.
Maybe. Where you just see how ugly they are once they're on the page.
What do you want to be when you grow up? A doctor. See? Do you really want that? Once you write it down, you know, you can see if it's really real. A little idiot like you want to be a doctor. You can't even talk without thinking first. Do you remember were there any, like, childhood, what are you going to be when you grow up activities or anything that stuck with you?
Not really.
I mean, not really.
In high school.
Okay.
We do those aptitude tests, even just like career quiz.
Yeah.
You like to work with your hands. You like to be outside. Guess what? You should be a gardener or a stuntman. Like, yeah. All right.
Oh, you like to know how stuff works? Aeronautical engineer.
It's that or janitor. Pick your choice.
Yeah. Those really don't do a good, give you a good idea of what's going to go on. They do not.
I don't remember much of what I dreamt I could be as a child, though.
I wanted to be a paleontologist just because I liked dinosaurs. But actually, once I learned about, like, the lifestyle you had to lead, like being on digs for months and not living in a trailer and having to work in hot places.
Yeah, yeah.
Always in a desert. I was like, being funny is pretty good. Maybe I should be funny for a living. Comedy clubs have air conditioning, right? Maybe I should try that. Why don't you try giving me a review?
All right. I got one more Google review for us. This is a review of Baxter Arena. We're going to ask ourselves where it is. I'm going to tell you. It is in Omaha. I don't know how that would have worked out. I just started panning west. And I was like, I'll end in Omaha. Mike Peterson has this to write. I did not have the chance to view a sporting event or concert at the location. This was for a school graduation ceremony. Parking was no issue for us. The food/drink was super expensive. So I highly suggest stuffing yourself prior to going. Although I guess high costs for event venues are expected. Let's just say for the price of one bottle of water, you can almost get a meal elsewhere. The staff and security were very helpful and nice. No complaints or criticism there. The facility was clean and my family appreciated that. 3 stars.
You know, this reminds me. The thought I had is, why do you want to eat at a graduation? Isn't there going to be like a party after or something where you're eating?
Thank you.
I thought that, and it reminded me when I went to my sister's college graduation, it was in their like gym,
Mm-hmm.
And the concession stands were open. And I thought the same thing. Who wants... And there are so many people getting popcorn and stuff. And I got a hot dog just because I thought it was so funny to be sitting and watching like a valedictorian speech and eating a hot dog. I was just fucking cracking up. I was like, had a little novelty Pepsi and everything. It was so funny.
Okay, that bought you're living my dreams. Yeah, my first read through, I'm like, what? Who's going to graduation to eat the concession? Why are there people? Woo! Roar, the popcorn flying everywhere.
Got a foam finger.
But then I thought, know what? I would love that because graduations are so boring.
Right?
Just give me something to make it better. Some licorice. I don't care what.
I did want to be there because I was proud of my sister, and
sure, important
for me to celebrate this moment with her. But you do have to sit there for 3 hours to watch her walk across stage for 5 seconds. So, yeah, being able to, like, ironically enjoy – I wasn't even ironically enjoying the hot dog. I was enjoying the hot dog and ironically enjoying the moment by having a hot dog at a graduation ceremony. It was kind of fantastic. I didn't remember it being that expensive, so yeah, this could be a Baxter Arena thing. This could be a perfect review, a great review here. He nailed it. Needed more concessions, cheaper. If my man could have got like a $2 hot dog like I did, it would have been a different review, wouldn't it?
Things would have been just right.
Yeah, we need more. We should have concessions on this podcast. I think people would leave nicer reviews. I didn't like it until they had $2 hot dogs at the venue. I mean, it's kind of get at least worth a star there.
Hot dogs make just about anything better.
This podcast printed a hot dog out of my phone. I don't even really know what happened, but it was hot. Okay, that's reviewparty.com. Jeez Louise. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, we got new episodes every Tuesday. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you'd like to send a funny review for us to laugh at, to talk about, send it to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. And give us your name. We'll give you credit.
If you want to reach out to us some other way, guess what, fam? We're on social media at reviewparty.com on Instagram and at reviewparty.com on TikTok. And hey. We know you're on TikTok. We know you're scrolling and swiping and doing that all of the time. Wouldn't you like some review party there? Or is it just like picture yourself getting the hookup from Dwight. Just, if you find us on TikTok, follow us. You got the Dwight hookup special, and we're gonna slide into your sweaty little palm where your phone normally resides. We're gonna slide in. Just little bites of reviewparty.com content.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be so tasty.
Secrets out of the bag. Regular listeners, we want you to follow the TikTok. We're juicing it. We're making a TikTok juice attempt. If you are listening past the release date, also follow the TikTok.
Yeah.
But if you're listening, you're a live listener, a real one, a real member of the Real Ones Club, and you got a TikTok, please do follow it. We're going to try and juice it.
If you will, we're a little Dig Dug. This is the Dig Dug TikTok collab. We're little Dig Duggers, and we're trying to pump that sucker up.
The two-player Dig Dug pump, I think, is you can do that.
You can
pump
do
faster
that
if you double pump.
Boom. So join us, pumpers.
Right. We need more pumpers. We need more pumpers. Because the thing that got me thinking that the TikTok would be good to pump with my fellow pumpers is I know everyone these days has got a little TikTok pump, a little TikTok account.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the thing is, everyone has an Instagram. Our friends are very nice and follow their Instagram. Instagram doesn't show them our stuff. But TikTok shows everyone our stuff, but somehow the friends miss the memo to follow the TikTok. So we're trying to bridge the gap. We're trying to fill the pump get on that stuff. And then we got like a website too or something.
Yeah, we're also on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. I don't really care at this point. Review Party Pod. We're on Letterboxd, Review Party, search that. We got a website, reviewparty.com. Find your soulmate there. I'll guarantee you might.
You can also, if your soulmate thing doesn't work out, you might want to listen to some emo music. Nosebleeds, they did our theme song, Bread for Breakfast. They incorporate all kinds of genres in their music. Some people might call it emo. I call it fantastic music. You can find it on Spotify. Nosebleeds, one word. I got a review to send us off here, Matt. This is for the Phi Sidey Woman Plush, Fuzzy Cat, Eye Sunglasses, Punk Soft, Velvet Shades, Ladies Handmade, Party Masquerade Eyewear.
Okay.
Sunglasses with some fuzz attached to them.
Okay.
Amazon customer titles their review, "They are cuteness extraordinaire." They write, "I love these glasses, and they're so different, like me. I wore them to the Barbie movie, and everyone loved them. 5 stars.
Who you telling?
Those are them. You telling yourself or telling? These things are ugly.